Would you rather talk about God or talk with God? Would you rather have a theological conversation or pray? Do I get more excited about an opportunity to preach about God or an opportunity to listen to the still small voice of the Lord in devotional times with God? Do you prefer to keep God at a safe distance or to get up close and personal? And do you trust God enough to be brutally honest with him? Jeremiah 15, verses 15 to 21, give us insights into the inner life of Jeremiah the prophet and his relationship with God. We can learn through Jeremiah's experience that when we bring our dark situations before the Lord, he shines his light on us. Before exploring this passage, let's pray. Lord, as we listen to you speak through Scripture today, would you illuminate it for us? Bring it to light and enlighten us about the way you want to shape our lives through this passage. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah had been given a tough task. God called him to be a prophet, which is a thankless job. Prophets were not typically appreciated by the public. They had to tell people that God sees all the wrong they are doing and that there will be consequences if they don't change their ways. Israel had been practicing idolatry and injustice. They weren't loving God with their whole heart, and they weren't loving their neighbor as themselves. They were turning to false gods and mistreating people. God gave Jeremiah the task of warning Israel that they would be kicked out of the land and taken away to a foreign nation in captivity if they didn't change their evil ways. People didn't like this prophecy. So Jeremiah faced opposition. People refused to listen to him and accused him of being a liar. Some even threatened to kill him. Jeremiah was beaten, restrained, and thrown into a muddy cistern for his prophecies. This reminds me of what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What do you do when it all seems to go wrong, when everyone is against you, even though you've been doing the right thing? What did Jeremiah do? He prayed. He lamented what was going on, expressing his sorrow to the Lord. When Jeremiah prayed, he wasn't nice and polite to God. He didn't come with flowery language. He cried out to the Lord in anguish, expressing his sorrow and bringing his raw emotion and brutal honesty. Let's look at how Jeremiah prayed his loneliness, hurt, and anger before looking at God's response. Jeremiah prayed his loneliness in verses 16 to 17. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone, because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. There can be a social sacrifice involved in following the Lord. When we find delight in the life-changing word of God, we can have a hard time fitting in with the crowd. I remember in my younger years feeling a little left out from the party crowd at high school. But at the same time, I didn't really want to get drunk and party with them. And then later in my 20s, when I was working a manual labor job, I also felt a little isolated in conversations when my coworkers were just talking about parties on the weekend and I couldn't really relate. I found other things to talk about with them, but there was still this sense of loneliness and being called to a different way of life, being different from the crowd. There can be a temptation to try to fit in. A young man confessed to me that he told an inappropriate joke to some friends to try to be funny. And he's recently come to faith and wanting to follow the Lord. So he immediately regretted it. And I assured him of God's grace. And we chatted about how it's challenging to live in the world, but not of the world. Jeremiah's prayer of loneliness reminds me of Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. While there's great joy in meditating on the word of God, there can be this sense of loneliness in being different from those around us. Like Jeremiah, we can pray to God about this loneliness. Jeremiah goes on to pray his hurt. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? I believe Jeremiah is speaking metaphorically here about the pain he feels as a result of Israel's rebellion against God. Their sin, cruelty, and indifference wounded his heart as he longed for the people to turn back to the Lord. Jeremiah felt the ache of God's unrequited love for his people. Eugene Peterson describes how Israel's unfaithfulness wounded Jeremiah. He says, "Their blasphemies cut him. Their clumsy rebellions bruised him. Their thoughtless rituals salted his open wounds. And there was no cure, for the only cure was a people who repent and trust God." When you are feeling hurt, what do? Do you stuff your feelings down, ignore them, and pretend you're just fine? Do you unravel in a mess? What do? While it can be good and healthy to express our hurt to others at the appropriate time, I wonder if it's always best to begin with prayer. We can tell God how we feel. We can melt down before the Lord with tears and sobbing, maybe even lying face down on the floor in our brokenness. Some of the most healing moments in my life have been when I have prayed my hurt. This has happened alone with the Lord, but also as others have prayed for me. There was one time in particular when I met with two pastors for my own inner healing. They helped me walk through and revisit a painful memory from my childhood. As a child, I had a speech impediment. I couldn't say the letter R. While there were multiple occasions where I was wounded from being misunderstood or being teased for my speech impediment, there was one time that has always stood out to me. It was one of my earliest memories. I was in kindergarten, and taking off my jacket near the entrance of the class, I see one of my peers named Carmen. So I just say, "Hi, Carmen." And she responds in a hostile tone, "Don't make fun of me." Little 5-year-old Jeff was heartbroken. I accidentally caused a conflict, which I didn't know how to handle. I made someone feel bad. I began to feel ashamed. And I also started believing some lies from the enemy. "What's wrong with you? You're not good enough." And this was so hard for me, especially because of my personality type. I'm a peacemaker. My deepest desire is to be at peace with everyone. So this was actually quite traumatic for me as a little kid. And it contributed through most of my childhood, and even into my young adulthood, of being a little quieter and shyer, being reluctant to speak. It's required God to do some significant healing in me. As I revisited this moment in prayer with these two pastors, I sobbed uncontrollably, which surprised me. I hadn't realized how deeply hurt I was by this childhood experience. But in that safe place, we asked Jesus to reveal to me where he was at that time and what he was trying to say to me, if only I knew his voice back then. I had a vision of Jesus bringing me and Carmen together and encouraging me to tell her that I wasn't making fun of her. I just wasn't able to say her name properly. And in that vision, Carmen said to me, "That's okay. Want to come play with me?" And then off we went as friends. This experience in prayer didn't change the reality of the past, but it renewed my heart in quite significant ways. And I find it interesting how God took this shy boy with a speech impediment and has called him to be a preacher and a pastor, to speak, be a spokesman. I'm humbled by that gift, and my heart is just warmed by the way that Jesus has brought healing to me before this time of prayer, but also significantly through it. There was much more that happened in this prayer session that I don't have time to describe, but Jesus brought inner healing to me when I prayed my hurt. After Jeremiah prays his loneliness and hurt, he prays his anger. He says to God, "You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails." Eugene Peterson paraphrases it like this: "You're nothing, God, but a mirage, a lovely oasis in the distance, and nothing." This is a bold prayer. Jeremiah is accusing God that he is not all that he says he is. He is accusing God of not coming through on his promises. Have you been there? Have you had expectations that were dashed, hopes that were crushed, promises that you no longer believe because they never seem to come to fruition? If not you, then maybe people you know have experienced this. I wonder how many Christians let themselves get angry at God. It can almost feel blasphemous, or at least inappropriate. So we can become afraid of getting angry at God. We let God off the hook, or at least stuff our anger down and ignore it. The Holy Scriptures give us permission to get angry at God. However, we are not meant to be angry at God from a distance, giving God the silent treatment. We are called to get angry up close. You can tell God how you really feel. You can let yourself get angry at God. The Psalms give us permission to get angry at God. Here are just a few examples. Psalm 22, verses 1 to 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Psalm 42, verses 9 to 10. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying all day long, where is your God? Psalm 69:3. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. The Psalms were Israel's prayer book, and Jeremiah would have grown up being taught to pray the Psalms. He knew how to pray his anger. Something happens when we pray our anger, or when we pray our loneliness or hurt. We grow in intimacy with God. We get closer to him. And if we stay there and listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, God speaks and he renews our hearts. I find it fascinating that the majority of the Psalms begin in lament but end in praise. They start by telling God how horrible we feel and how bleak our situation looks. But somewhere along the way, there's a shift. When we bring our dark situations before the Lord, he shines his light on us. When we talk with God about our desperate situation, we realize that God is with us. And God's presence then makes all the difference, giving us courage to face the situation at hand. Just the other day, I was about to host the evening service at 10th Church. I needed to print some notes for what I was planning to say and then run through everything before the service. I had plenty of time, so I thought I would be fine. But my notes would not print on any printer in the building, and my computer froze. I panicked a little bit. I needed my notes because there was a lot of details to keep track of in that service. I was going to do a welcome, announcements, the offering, a special prayer for someone going on a missions trip, an explanation about the season of Lent, along with a painting that was on display, a description of that, a scripture reading, a liturgical prayer, the transition and invitation to communion, along with the prayer for communion, and then a closing benediction. I did not have all of that memorized, so I needed my notes to refer to. I started scrambling to troubleshoot the situation. Control-Alt-Delete, reboot the computer, connect things with wires, or at least look for wires to connect with, but nothing was working. Time was ticking away, and it was just minutes before the service with no time to run through everything. I felt so angry that I wanted to throw my computer out the window. But instead, I prayed my anger. God began to soften my heart, work within me, and assure me of his presence. I never did get all of my notes. Somehow I managed to get some of them, and I memorized what I could and then improvised the rest. I continued to pray my anxiety now throughout the service as I felt unprepared, and God continued to work on my heart and assure me of his presence. And he gave me the ability to speak freely by the power of the Holy Spirit. Somehow, after the service, the senior pastor commented on how well I hosted, which really surprised me considering how angry and anxious I felt leading up to it. Ultimately, that is only because of the presence of God. If I did not pray my anger and anxiety, they would have eaten away at me and prevented me from doing what I was called to do. God's response to Jeremiah praying his loneliness, hurt, and anger is a twofold invitation to renewal. First, God calls Jeremiah to repentance. Verse 19. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. To repent is to turn, to change direction. Jeremiah was in danger of going the wrong way. God warned him not to turn to the people, but to let the people turn to him. Jeremiah needed to keep his eyes fixed on the Lord and remember the work he was called to do as God's spokesman, as a prophet. This leads to the second part of God's renewal. God repeats the words he said to Jeremiah when he first called him to prophetic ministry. I stumbled across this insight early in my preparation for this sermon. When Dave invited me to preach here today, I gladly accepted the invitation, and then I asked what the topic would be, or what the text would be. He told me, I'm not sure the exact text, but we'll be in a sermon series on Jeremiah. And I was like, oh boy, I don't know Jeremiah very well, and I think that's one of the harder books to understand. Prophetic books aren't easy. So after I read through the text I was assigned, I wanted to get a better understanding of Jeremiah as a whole, the whole book. So I found my audio Bible and began listening to Jeremiah chapter 1. My ears perked up when I heard something in chapter 1 that is almost the exact same wording as the end of chapter 15. Listen to this from Jeremiah 1, 18 to 19. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall, to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Now listen to Jeremiah 15, verse 20. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue you and save you, declares the Lord. This is almost verbatim. God is saying again what he said to Jeremiah years ago. When God first called Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah claimed to be too young. But God assured him to not be afraid to say whatever he commands. In fact, two times in chapter 1, God says to not be afraid because he is with him and will rescue him. Now, years later, in chapter 15, God gives that same promise again. This is what we all need when times are difficult. We need God to speak to us afresh, to say what he has said before, but to say it again into our new situation. Eugene Peterson says, "It is not enough to remember. We must hear it again. Prayer is that act in which we hear it again. Situations change. Does God change? We pray. We listen. God speaks his word again, the same word, and we are restored and renewed in our commitment." What has God said to you that you need him to say to you again? For me, it is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God placed this text on my heart years ago when I was asking him what he was calling me to do. I need him to say that to me again on a regular basis. Because even though I've been trying to focus my time on making disciples, sometimes I get distracted, or busy, or discouraged. So I need him to say it again. In fact, I mostly need Jesus to say again that he is with me always to the very end of the age. Because that is what empowers me to do this whole disciple-making thing. And I can only hear Jesus say this to me when I listen, when I turn my attention to the Lord. So whenever you get discouraged or lonely or hurt or angry, I encourage you to talk to God. Tell him how you feel. Don't hold back. Be honest to God. He can take it. In fact, he will take it and he will transform it. When you bring your dark situation before the Lord, he shines his light on you. He will renew you with his presence, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. He will speak his words of life to lift you up out of the pit and set your feet on a rock. God is with you to rescue you and restore you. Let's pray. Lord, give us courage to talk to you with brutal honesty. Teach us through the Psalms and through Jeremiah to open our hearts to you without hiding anything or pretending. We want to have an intimate relationship with you where we can know you and be known by you, where we feel safe to tell you the truth about how we are really doing, and where we listen to what you have to say in return. Lord, remind us of who you have made us to be and what you are calling us to do. Say again what you have said before when you have spoken and changed our lives. We need your life-giving word to frame our situation and to give us hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.